Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio, a place for entrepreneurs, business owners, mentors, and anybody cash flowing their life. And I got news for you, folks. If you got a student loan, a credit card payment, a car payment, a mortgage, you are cash flowing your life, and Coffee and Capitalism just might have some information for you. Here on Coffee and Capitalism, we talk with business owners, CEOs, mentors, those who drive our economy. If you're looking for a way to balance your work, family, and personal life, well then we've got the show for you. Coffee and Capitalism Radio, right here on the Crude Life Media Network. All right, on today's program, we talk with Stephen Tidwell. Great story, American story. Stephen Tidwell started on a farm and ended up in the oil and gas industry. Cleaning up spills, little bit of a hydrocarbon business for Stephen Tidwell. And then we talk with Troy Schrenk, Chief Commercial Officer with Target Lodging, the largest lodging company in the world. And Troy Schrenk gives us an update, what's happening in Texas and in North Dakota. And then we talk with Mike Griffith with Knighton Industries. And our multimedia kidpreneur Otis sits down with Harold Hamm, the owner of Continental Resources. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Stephen Tidwell with Tidwell Industries.
Just in the last couple weeks, I've been interviewing North Dakota Public Service Commissioner Randy Chrisman, as well as the governor and Doug Burgum, Lynn Helms. He's the kind of the top regulator, North Dakota Industrial Commission, because we're doing quite a bit on the Bakken, and they got some things going on up there. And one of the interesting stories that came out of there was the use of drones, and how a couple years ago they were using crop dusters and all the man hours that went into it and the human element behind it, and how now they're starting to use more UAS and they're getting more precision. And where I'm going with this, when you were describing how you're saving these guys money, these energy companies, that's what I was picturing. I was picturing the integration and the advent of a new technology, whether it be proprietary, whether it be environmental, whatever it is, it's the advent of a new technology. And this is the type of thing that the oil and gas CEOs have been telling me for the last 5 years. Technology is completely changing this industry. And that's what I'm hearing when I hear you talk, is you're integrating a new technology that's coming in that's actually showing that there are results being made. So am I hearing you right, that you're bringing this new technology in? And for all I know, it might be an old technology, but new to the industry. But you're actually seeing that companies are saving money?
Yes, that's right. It is a new product, although we've been in business 15 years. Like I said, we originally started off to be on a local level, so we stayed under the radar. We learned how to grow a business. We learned how to become businessmen. So, you know, we kind of took some time off the clock for two farmers to learn how to run the business, learn how to use a product of this magnitude. But, yes, we are spearheading the industry right now. And that's not just talk. That's not just reputation. That's actual experience. We've been working for some of the top companies, and they still use us 15 years later because of the fact that we saved them money on their costs. There's a whole lot of other benefits that come along with it, such as, taking away the appearance of the spill so that there's nothing there to see. It doesn't cause a whole lot of attraction. So, you know, we're kind of a comfortability measure to the customer. But, yeah, definitely leading the market, and in my opinion, by far, in the last 15 years that I've been here and seeing other products, there's some great products out there. I'm happy that I have a product that literally blows them out the water as far as the technology is concerned for this time.
Sticking on environmental and technology, or environmental tech, energy tech was a word they used several years ago as well, but then they found out that the new technology was so environmental friendly, and they kind of hybrided those in there. And that is very important when we're talking about remediation, we're talking about cleanup, reclamation, whatever the word is we want to use, and we're going to use remediation for this. Well, first off, on-site, are you doing on-site? We'll get into the technology part in just a second here, but do you guys do on-site too?
Yes, that's actually problem number two in the top three that I have for remediation industry. It's typically called, or how we use the term, it's in-situ remediation, which is going to be on-site remediation, and that's the process of turning a contaminated spill into a non-hazardous material or deeming it clean to be able to pass the EPA test and actually leave it on-site without having to transport hazardous materials and dump them to another location where they're actually still liable for that oil for the next 25 years. So in-situ remediation, the most common. There's several types of products out there, but the most common, the one that people are going to recognize the most, is going to be a microbial. This is a bug that is instituted into a liquid, which is then dispersed out over an area of contaminated soils or contaminated material. Now, the idea is that these microbes, which are living organisms, they will actually go to the hydrocarbon, find the hydrocarbon, eat it, and digest it out into an inert compound. Now, that, to me, that's amazing in itself, that man was able to take a living organism, inject it into a fluid, and then have that organism there find a hydrocarbon, digest it out into an inert compound. That's amazing.
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephen Tidwell of Tidwell Industries, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Troy Schrenk, Chief Commercial Officer with Target Lodging.
Troy Schrenk, our guest, Target Lodging, and I'll give you folks a minute to grab a pen and paper because some of the things he's talking about are these signs that we often talk about, the economic indicators, and of course, lodging is a very big part of it. So up in the Bakken, we were talking about the Meridian Energy Group moving ahead with the permit to construct from the air, North Dakota Health Department with the air quality permit. And then you mentioned the other camps that you guys have in Wadford City, Williston, Stanley area. Is it safe to say that the activity is picking up like a lot of the media has been reporting? Because I know a lot of times the media gets ahead of the actual part into speculation and then that sort of thing. But if you guys are filling your beds up once again, that to me sounds like a surefire indicator that this energy boom is back in the boom status, huh?
Well, it definitely is. And in this instance, we actually think the media was behind, which is ironic. But, you know, we actually saw a good solid pickup of activity a couple quarters ago. You could, you know, measured by the number of crews that were moving into the area, the amount of horsepower, you know, or equipment, as some of the oil field service companies like to call it, moving into the area, the number of frac fleets and crews has increased over the last several quarters, which increases the number of, you know, the number of men and women working in the area. So, you know, I think the media in this instance has actually just confirmed what we had been seeing on the front end several quarters ago. We're optimistic. We expect some good things out of the Bakken region much sooner than we anticipated, frankly. We thought it might be a little slower pace to recovery, but given some of the challenges that have been presented down in the Permian Basin related to takeaway capacity, we're starting to see some capital investment flowing back into other shale plays, and one of which is the Bakken, where the economics are, you know, have improved significantly as it relates to being able to, you know, extract the oil. But clearly, the price of oil has helped. But look, the takeaway capacity is in the Bakken, with the Dakota Access Pipeline and others coming into fruition. I think it really positions the Bakken as the shale play that it was before, and will continue to be on a go forward. So we expect great things to come. And only just continued improvement for the Bakken.
Transition to Texas for a moment. You mentioned the Permian, some of the issues down there, and so some of the capitals opening up in the other shale plays like the Bakken. I just saw this recently where the Eagle Ford has now got some new projections that are going to make investors very happy too. So there's another shale play that could come back into the limelight like it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. The Eagle Ford had its day in the sun for a little bit. That went away, but could come back. Haynesville, I'm hearing that rumbling again. How are you guys doing down in Texas? Are you in the Permian? Are you in the Eagle Ford or any of the other shale plays in the area?
Yeah, Jason, it's very exciting. You know, since 2012, we've had a flag in the ground in the Permian Basin. In fact, we were first in the market with a turnkey lodge in Pecos, Texas, which is really the epicenter of the Delaware Basin, which is part of the western part of the Permian play. And so this will put it into perspective for you, Jason. In 2012, we built an 80-bed facility in Pecos, Texas. And fast forward six years later, that lodge today sits with over 800 beds on location at full capacity, with a roster full of oil and gas and energy customers that is broad and diverse. We're excited about our position there in Pecos, Texas, and as a result of that, last year we've grown our network significantly. You might hear me use that terminology, network, and I'll explain that, you know, oil and gas has changed even, you know, during the downturn. They've gotten a lot more efficient. We have to be, we have to match our customers' requirements on the lodging side. When you look at efficiency and flexibility and being able to move about the basin with flexibility and speed, we've designed and we've built a 7 lodge network across the Permian, similar to that of the Bakken, but with over almost 3,500 beds, just shy of 3,500 beds, from tip to tip, covers the geographic area of the Permian Basin, offers the customer base just a very, very flexible, consistent offering across the network, and tremendous growth. So, you know, the Bakken boom that occurred that we all know in 2010 through 2014, the Permian is booming now. And, you know, getting the crews off of the roads, you know, the other 12 hours that they're not on location, keeping them safe, fit for work every day is our top priority. I mean, it's just, and the only way you can deliver on that is to have a network of lodges. You cannot have a singular location and be able to service these crews and these hardworking men and women and keep them safe so they can return home to their families when they go off hitch. So the answer is yes, wholeheartedly, the largest in the Permian Basin. We're excited about what that basin has to offer. We see continued growth in that marketplace as they continue to expand their takeaway capacity in the region. So, you know, all good things coming out of Texas and New Mexico at this point.
You know, and I've seen a lot of reports where 70% of the shale drilling is going to come out of the Permian, out of the shale United States drilling over the next 20, 30 years because it's so thick compared to a lot of the other shale plays. So very smart, very interesting strategy down there in Texas with the network. And, you know, like you said, much like up in the Bakken, where if you understand the Bakken with the Dickinson, Watford City, the Williston's, and even Stanley, you know, the only thing you're missing, I guess, is Tioga at that point. But that's so close to Stanley that it's, you know, it's almost a horse apiece. So
It is. And Jason, I think you might remember we actually had a lodge in Tioga that supported the construction of the gas plant in that area. It was about 1,000 bed facility.
Mm-hmm.
And it served its purpose. We still have some infrastructure there, but we have moved off most of that lodging facility down to the Texas market because, you know, it was really purpose built. So Tioga, frankly, I miss that area. It's a great little town. You know, if the market recovers and there's drilling and completion activity in that area and we're needed, we wouldn't hesitate. We'd go back in.
Yeah, and I forgot about that gas plant and the LNG facility, and those are a lot more permanent jobs too, as opposed to like a Stanley or a Ray or some of the smaller towns that just don't, you know, they don't have that you know, facility like that. So. All right. Well, hey, I was going to ask you, a lot of times, you know, what I remember about when I interviewed Brian Lash a number of years ago, I want to say like Halliburton was one of his big customers when they went over and did some Olympics and then they did some housing overseas for the Iraq War. And, of course I got thinking right away, you know, Target and, Halliburton, those are big companies. So, without, you know, sounding tactful or anything like that, how big of a company, you know, do you guys deal with? I mean, is it smaller companies, big companies? Just kind of talk to me a little bit about who your customer base is.
Sure, that's a good question. And look, you know, Brian's comments about working with Halliburton would remain true today. So when you look at we call them partners or like-minded partners. Right, because and you'll say, well, what does that mean, Troy? It sounds like a fancy marketing term or phrase. It's not every company that is willing to make the investment in their people. In fact, some companies just frankly don't, and they'll put their crews, their men and women, in what we call man camps. And there are plenty of man camps. When the Bakken boom first, you know, cycled up, you saw man camps scattered across the pastures of North Dakota. Those are camps. There are, and then there are companies that are willing to invest in their worker the other 12 hours that they're not on location, and it's companies like Halliburton that are willing to do that because they see the return of getting a better worker each and every day, a safer worker each and every day, and a more loyal worker.
To listen to this full-length interview with Troy Schrenk with Target Lodging, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Oh my God, stops when I go. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Mike Griffith with Knighton Industries.
Knighton Industries.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us here today. Knighton Industry, K-N-I-G-H-T-E-N. So we got the kind of the medieval knight when we say Knighton Industries. But talk to me a little bit about your involvement in the oil and gas industry.
Well, we've been actually involved in the oil and gas industry in Texas since 1969. Bill Knighton, who's 88 years old, comes to work every day, runs our service shop in Odessa, but we've expanded out to about eight stores in Texas and one in New Mexico from that first store in 1969 in Odessa, Texas.
And what have you seen over the past, call it the 10 years that the shale play's been going on, and maybe even a little bit beforehand? You're down in the heart of the energy capital of the world, Texas. Has it changed much down there over the last 20 years in terms of just the worker and anticipation and people and that sort of thing?
Well, I think the oil field's changed, yes. I hate to bring in the millennial label, but the way society's changed, I mean, the oil field's changing the same way. We're having to take steps to deal with the younger generation now and the way they were raised with the electronic age and the technological age. So we're trying to adapt. We're an old company that's trying to adapt to the new way of doing things.
That's interesting you brought up the millennial, because I'm hearing that more and more, and people are they're kind of having to look over their shoulders a little bit because they've been put on such a pedestal and a platform over the last 10 years. Well, the reality is starting to play itself out, in my opinion, which I've seen. A lot of these guys, and I'll give you an example of some other people that comments I've heard. A lot of people that are making decisions now in oil and gas have never even been on a well site. You are starting to see more things like that, and that has changed the industry. And some people are kind of not sure how to absorb that, how to take that.
I don't know if you want to comment on that at all, but I just wanted to add that example to what you were talking about, because this is becoming more and more of an issue, I think, than what people are making of it, especially considering 70% of the industry is going to retire in the next 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely true. And I'm being 55, I mean, we all have to adapt and learn how to deal with the new way of doing things. And we've had to come up with new websites to interact with the millennials. They don't like to talk as much. We've had to adapt everywhere. But that's also the new too. So, but I see us catering to the engineer now, because we do have engineers that haven't been out on the well site. So they're grabbing hold of people they trust. And, you know, you do a few good jobs and keep this young engineer out of hot water, and he becomes a friend, and business goes on as usual. But it has become a huge deal. And every meeting I go to across the country talks about Stephen with the millennials.
Breaking up there a little bit, I'm going to jump in here for just a second and mention another comment I heard, just to not pile things on, but give another example. When I was talking to Cindy Sanford up in the Bakken, she works for North Dakota Job Service, and one of the comments she made really stood out, which she said a lot of the younger workforce does not know how to use a computer. They know how to use their smartphone, but they don't know how to use a desktop computer. That floored me. That absolutely floored me. Are you seeing any of that down in Texas?
No. I haven't really seen that. I do see that in the on the mechanical side. We're a service company, and so we have mechanics that go out to location, field mechanics that'll travel out to location and work on someone's pump out on location. And a lot of the younger generation mechanics they're very good on their phones, and so we've adapted to some forms and some apps that download onto the phone to where these guys can actually fill out their paperwork on their smartphone. And they're very good at that. Now, they're a lot better at that than they are taking a piece of paper and writing it out, because that's like pulling teeth. But we've had a lot better luck trying to get these guys to do their daily reports out on their phones rather than writing them out.
So it sounds like you guys are experiencing that, if you're adapting it, that the there was a much of a push that some action was taken. We'll just leave it at that. Now that we're done solving the world's problems, talk to me about what you guys have going on. I mean, is business pretty good down there?
Business is great in Texas. Very blessed. You know, we went through all the way through 2014, the growth period for Texas, and for us also, 15 and 16, with the fact that we were taking a dump. We ourselves were down in the dump just as well. So that was two very long, hard years. But it rebounded with the election. The old industry rebounded. The price of oil's gone up, and at $50 and $60 a barrel, and now $70. We're very well blessed and very happy about it.
One of the things I like to ask people like yourself in interviews is, who is your ideal customer? I mean, a lot of times it can go a lot of different ways, or it can be very specific too. So, who is your ideal customer?
Our ideal customer, we deal with the end user, the producer. We deal with our particular part of the pump industry. We deal with everything above ground. Once the oil, water, whatever we're pumping gets above ground, we deal with it. And so we do a lot of midstream. We do a lot of end-user projects right now with ANSI pumps or pipeline pumps. In Texas, they're putting in all kinds of pipelines. And so we're very heavily into that type of business right now.
You mentioned earlier about some of the smartphone apps and some of that change in terms of innovation in the HR department and change in innovation in some of the administration side. How about on the field side, are you seeing much innovation on your day-to-day, you know, turnkey pumps, I'd imagine, you know, with smart pumps and new kinds of polymers and all kinds of different things. But are you noticing any new innovation when it comes to, you know, what you're seeing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, like the VFD, the variable frequency drive, that's not a new innovation, but it's being used, widely used now. So smart technology is taking over, and it is being used on a much broader scale now. It's not a, I wouldn't call it a brand new innovation, but it is actually taking on and taking hold of the industry. So smart pumping, smart electricity, more efficient, less horsepower is definitely taking over.
That's a very interesting way to put it, because I'm hearing more and more of the theme that old school is new school. And this is like, you know, hydraulic fracturing and that sort of thing. That's been around since the 40s, 50s. But it wasn't until they figured out a way to use it that it actually came to fruition and used its potential. And kind of what you said kind of reminded me of that. You know, we went back to some of the old ways, but implemented it into this new system, and it's actually making it more efficient. I think we're going to get that way eventually to the pencil. Like you were talking, man, some of these kids is like pulling teeth, getting a pen and paper out, but we might have to position it as, look at this new technology. It's called a pencil and a paper. Who knows? Anyway, but...
Well, that wouldn't hurt my feelings at all.
Not me either, but... All right, well, I like to give...
To listen to the full-length interview with Mike Griffith with Knighton Industries, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life.
Blown your mind, blown, I'll show you something that's never been shown. Your mind, blown, your mind, blown, and that's all you need to know.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly, like you have plans to save the world. You've never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Hey folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.
Well,
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Now we hand the baton off to multimedia kidrepreneur Otis with his Kids and Capitalism KidCast. This week, he interviews Harold Hamm, the CEO and owner of Continental Resources.
Hello, my name is Otis with Kids and Capitalism KidCast, and today we're here with Harold Hamm, president of Continental Resources, and we're going to ask him a few questions. What was your first job, Mr. Hamm?
Well, I grew up on a farm, so I grew up milking cows and feeding animals and doing all those things, and also pulling cotton. So that's the job we got paid for. So anyway, that was one of the jobs as a very young man that I was able to do.
All right. Why is the energy industry a safe place or a good place for young entrepreneurs?
Well, there's a lot of opportunity in the energy industry, particularly oil and gas. So anyway, it's something that intrigued me as a young person. Actually, I got intrigued in high school and decided that I want to be a petroleum geologist. And so that's what I worked hard to accomplish.
What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs like myself?
Find something that you're passionate, that you care about, and perhaps talented to do, and that you like to do. Find something that really means something to you. And number one, I think, is get an education. You know, make sure that you develop your mind and your abilities to do a job. But find something you like to do and pursue it.
All right.
Don't let anything get in the way.
All right. One more question. My great-grandpa and grandma are from Enid. Can you tell us what it's like there?
Oh, Enid's a great place. It's much like Bismarck. You know, it's a town of 50,000 people. It's got wonderful people, wonderful work ethics. What's your grandparents' name?
My grandparents' name? I don't know. I never really got introduced to them. They died before I was born, so.
Oh, they died before you were born.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I never really got their name.
Yeah, well, Spies is a common name in Oklahoma.
It is?
It is. So you may have more friends and family there than you're aware of. So, yes, I know some Spies in the oil and gas business.
Well, that concludes our interview. Thank you very much for taking that time out of your day to do an interview with me. I appreciate it very much.
You bet.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, where do you feel the bridge? And I'll hammer on the harmony. After a hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody. We will ready the rhyme and rhythm to chord each note and every measure. Together we will make a rich living, phrasing and composing.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Thank you.
with Kids of Capitalism KidCast, and today we're here with Tony Moss with Continental Resources. And we're going to ask you some questions. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. What was your first job, Mr. Moss?
My first job was a pharmacy technician at my father's pharmacy, actually. He got
pharmacy
me to work
technician.
There. Yeah, when I was about 16 and started working there with him and kind of taught me how to work hard and be in school, and it was a good job.
All right.
A lot of fun.
Why did you go into the energy industry?
I think a big part of it for me was just being able to apply a science that I really loved from an early age. I always was interested in rocks and earth processes and all that kind of stuff. And so being able to find an industry where I could apply that knowledge and then be able to kind of make a difference in the world. You know, everyone uses energy, and it's pretty cool to be involved in supplying that for the world. So,
here's our last question. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs like myself? I always get messed up on the question.
I'd say find something that interests you and really pursue that. You know, for me, I never knew exactly what I was going to do with geology, but it really interested me, and so I kind of explored the avenues of how I could apply that and make a career out of it. So definitely find something that you really enjoy doing and that you want to kind of make your future. So that would be my advice.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Moss, for taking the time out of your day to let me do an interview. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
And I think that concludes our interview.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too. Minnie's a crooked woman, diamonds on every hand, tricking mother for you, everywhere she lands. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, or you can make a million too. Quick, Jack will not jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, or you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Hey, folks, I want to take a quick second to tell you, just in time for summer, the Crude Life t-shirts are now on sale. Three different designs available. Show your support for the industry and become an energy enthusiast by living the Crude Life. Visit thecrudelife.com and click on the t-shirts now on sale. That's the Crude Life t-shirts now on sale.